excuse the April 27th edition of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means Natural Resources Subcommittee. Today we're going to be hearing 5034 for public hearing and possible work session at the Land Use Board of Appeals. Let's begin with a staff summary, and then we'll go to Mr. Michael Hilton and Linda Gilbert and Ken Rockin. Mr. Rockin, would you lead off, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to briefly review for you the Land Use Board of Appeals budget presentation. As you may recall, we heard this budget initially in early February, so it's been some time. Basically, the board was established in 1979 to provide resolution of land use issues and to create a consistent body of land use law. The agency is a relatively small agency with three referees appointed by the governor, confirmed by the Senate, two clerical positions, and the one permanent staff attorney position. The 97 legislature provided a limited duration staff attorney position to assist with publication and the caseload backlog, and that position ended at the end of this current biennium. They would go away. The primary issue facing the at this point is dealing with the caseload backlog, which developed for a number of reasons over the past several years. The agency has three packages that is proposed in its governor's recommended budget, and I've provided the committee with a spreadsheet that reviews their budget when we get into work session. We'll go over and a memo listing the recommendations for the budget by legislative office.
Questions?
Yes.
Shall we move on to the budget management and Land Use Board of Appeals, Mr. Holson and Linda Gilbert and Chuck Jones?
Yes.
Many of you have heard the overview of the Land Use Board of Appeals budget. We've had a presentation from Department of Administrative Services on how the budget goes together. If there are no questions, or if there are any questions, now would be the time to revisit those issues, and not go into work session and consider the recommendations of the legislative analyst. There are no questions. Let's just stand by. And, yes, so we do have a question from Senator Tarrant.
Can the LFO sheet in case 1,934,000. The bill says
1,000. Mr. Rockwell, let's go ahead and go into work session and then have you go ahead and present the recommendations from legislative analysts and the see if there are any questions about the discussion generation. We are in work session on the LUBA Land Use Board of Appeals budget.
Mr. Chair, if you would, the committee would refer to the spreadsheet that I provided that walks through basically the current, up to the current service level, and then the governor's recommended budget. At the top of that is a historical view of the agency, and as you can see, for the current service level budget, slightly over $1 million general fund. The agency has six positions, and that is because the position that was provided, limited duration staff attorney position, disappears at the end of this current biennium. That position was provided by the legislature last session as a half-time position, or half of an FTE, and the agency came to the emergency board and request the continuation of the position for the remainder of the biennium, which was granted by the emergency board. So basically, the agencies have seven staff people on board for the entire biennium. The governor's recommended budget is $1,073,725 general fund and $131,241 other funds.
seven physicians and seven FTEs for the 9901 biennium. The first box under the budget detail identifies how the budget was how the budget was developed from the LA, the legislatively approved budget for 97-99 to the current service level, which includes a number of additions and subtractions. You'll note on the adjustments to the LAD, the position that was removed, that was the limited duration position, which dropped the current service level to six positions and six FTEs. Also included in that box are the cost of goods and services increases due to inflation and the increases due to changes in the state government service charge, which results in the current service level budget of $1,001,624 general fund and $91,072 other funds. In the governor's recommended budget, there are three packages. The first is package 101, which is the addition of a publications editor position on a permanent basis for the biennium, which is at a cost of $62,601 general fund and $20,869 other funds. There's a package 102 is a technology enhancement package, which is a package related to the development of a web page and a server update for the for LUBA, which would enable them to provide all of their past opinions on a website. And package 103 is a $9,500 general fund package to provide additional data support payments to the Public Utility Commission where the where LUBA is now located. And those packages added to the current service level results in the governor's recommended budget of $1,073,725 in general fund and $131,241 other funds with seven positions and seven FTEs.
Questions?
Mr. Chairman, if the committee would refer to the memo that provided, which lists a series of recommendations that legislative officials have on the budget. First, and these are also provided in the bottom of the spreadsheet. The first item I'd like to bring to your attention is an adjustment in revenue. It was identified that the revenue forecast in the agency budget had not totally reflected the increase in filing fee receipts that was approved last biennium, an increase to $175 per appeal. If you look in your budget on in the back on page one, of the in the very back of the strike sheet in the back of the book. Page number one, after the last tab in the budget.
Everybody got it. It's where the border, it's where the format changes from there to spreadsheet for zone.
On this page, there's a category called General Fund Revenue in the middle of the page, and it's identified as other non-business licenses and fees. And if you'll note on that page that the biennial estimate for 1997-99 of $66,100 reflects that higher amount of in the middle column and just about the middle row.
Several page number ones, the description or exchange format, evidently isn't what I got. That's another page number one, I'm not sure the number is.
It's a top page, Jack.
Are we going to do something called general fund revenues, licensing fees?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. $56,100.
Yes, representative.
Thank you.
That number represents the $56,100 is reflects the increased filing fee of $175 on the projection on the actual number of appeals filed with LUVA. And if you'll note, for the governor's recommended budget, that number drops to $25,000. Our recommendation is to increase that number based on an average of about 250 appeals a year at $125, which is a total revenue of $87,500, not $25,000. So based on that, there's a general fund revenue increase of $62,500 to the general fund. This money does not go to the Land Use Board of Appeals because it's transferred. The board collects this money and then transfers it to the general fund. So it's a revenue increase to the general fund of the state, not to the board of the state.
I thought it was $66,000, but I didn't understand how you went to the
$80,000. The first thing, $56,100 is an estimate for the current biennium. And if you look over two columns to the right, you'll see that the governor's recommended budget includes only $25,000. So if you assume that the agency will have 250 appeals a year, which is below the average of the last 5 years, slightly, with an average of closer to 265, that's a conservative estimate of the number of appeals, times the $175 filing fee. That's the $25,000 amount in the governor's recommended budget should actually be about $87,500.
Okay, so that number doesn't exist.
Okay. So our recommendation then would be to increase the amount of revenue generated to a total of $87,500, which is an increase of $62,500. Over what's included in the budget. Legislative fiscal recommends approval of the current service level calculation, which is with the technical changes in the budget. With regard to package 101, recommendation is to reduce the position to 0.5 FTE on a limited duration basis and basically reduce the general fund and other funds in half and direct the agency to report to the emergency board on the status of their report, their publication, and the availability of other funds. There was some discussion earlier in the public hearings that the agency was slightly behind on its publications and generated revenue from those publications, and there was some question about the numbers of the publications that would be sold. So the recommendation is to reduce the position, provide the agency with some assistance in getting up to date on the caseload and the reports, and have the agency direct report back to the emergency board with a budget note and proposed language for the budget note is listed in the memo, and basically it states that the subcommittee discussed the need for a copy of the position and directs the agency to report to the emergency board before June year 2000 on the status of the agency's publication situation and progress in addressing the existing case backlog. The agency is authorized to request continuation of the limited duration copy editing position from the emergency board for the remainder of the biennium if the need can be demonstrated. And the effect of this action would be to reduce the governor's recommended budget by $31,300 general fund and $10,435 other funds, and reduce the position from 1.0 FTE to 0.5 FTE. With respect to package 103, which is the other general funded package, our recommendation is to eliminate that package and direct the agency to investigate alternative location and administrative support options. If you recall, when the agency was presenting its budget, there was a discussion regarding their current location in the Public Utility Commission building and the fact that they were interested in finding alternative sites and support services. After further analysis of the amount of money needed to provide to PUC for these support functions, it was determined that the $9,500 was probably not necessary. The agency had some upfront costs due to the changeover from the computer system, and those costs have been reduced lately. So is our recommendation that that package be eliminated from the budget. And that another budget note be included to have the agency look into alternative location and support functions and report to the emergency board on these options later in the biennium. With respect to package 102, our recommendation is to eliminate this package. In the agency's request budget, the package for $19,300 was a general fund request, and in the governor's recommended budget, that was moved to other funds. Again, if you'll recall, the agency discussed the fact that the Oregon Bar would provide up to $5,000 for development of their web page, and we feel that it may be a better course to have the agency look into other funding sources for a web page and come back to the emergency board with a report and a plan for those for development of the web page, given more details on whether the bar will provide resources and how many other resources it will take to completely develop that web page for previous decisions. So it's our recommendation that that package be eliminated, which will reduce the governor's budget by $19,300 other funds, and a budget note direct the agency to report that to the emergency board on that plan also. The effect of these changes on the budget would be to have a recommended budget of $1,032,925 general fund, $101,506 other fund, seven positions, and 6.5 FTE. This represents a 5.9% reduction from the governor's recommended budget and an increase of about 3.8% from the current service level. Questions from the committee?
We are in work session. Chair, would entertain a motion to accept the recommendations of the legislative analyst.
front, people. This is the first one. Don't be shy.
Representative Messel removed the recommended,
or that we adopt the recommendations of the legislative analysts regarding the changes, budget notes, and others to House Bill 5034. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the recommendations are accepted. I guess we need a motion to move House Bill 5034 to the full way to the bill with a DCAS recommendation. Moved by Representative Messerly. If we are a joint committee, I'll go ahead and ask for the roll to be called.
Representative Jensen?
Aye.
Representative Messerly?
Aye.
Representative King?
Aye.
Representative Morgan?
Aye.
Senator Carno? Senator George?
Aye.
Senator Metzger?
Aye.
Chair Farrelly?
Aye. Motion passes. The budget will move to the full Ways and Means Committee as containing the recommendations of the legislative fiscal officer and the budget notes the chair will carry. Any questions? Thank you very much for the presentation. Thoughtful consideration. Let's move on. Oh, a house carrier. Okay, we have on the agenda this morning action on additional item, which is the public hearing and work session on the Delgani budget. And if I could ask for opening of the public hearing on Senate Bill 5516. And I will call our good representative, or actually our good commissioner from the county to come to the front of the table and ask if there's any other person here present that wishes to offer public testimony.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, fellow members of the committee. This is my second time here in many weeks. And if I have to do this too many more times, I'm going to have to register as a lobbyist, and I hope somebody puts me out of my misery before that happens. I left Tillamook County, and I'm looking forward to getting back. My last term as a legislator, I was appointed, I don't know whether it was the governor or the former speaker, to the Oregon Seismic Safety Policy Advisory.
Okay, for the record.
Kim, I'm sorry, Kim Yossi, county commissioner. Thank you. Oregon Seismic Safety Policy Advisory Committee, which is called OSAC, and it took me a long time to learn really to concentrate on figuring out what it was that I was appointed to. And I remember the first time that I attended one of those meetings, we had a bunch of engineers and geologists there, and of course I was there listening to their technical terms, and I really felt out of place. And it took me a long time to really learn what the heck they were talking about. But it became a great primer for my next job, which was county commissioner, because they talked about the things that I spend a lot of time on. And I'm going to spend just a little bit of time talking about some of the issues that I, as a county commissioner, deal with. We have several natural hazards on the coast. The first one is earthquakes. And we haven't had an earthquake, but we found out that we're in for a big one because we're adjacent to the Cascadia subduction zone. The Cascadia subduction zone is where one plate is going under another. And we find out now that, in fact, the National Geographic Society magazine highlighted that hazard in one of their 98 issues. So we're finding now that anywhere from 200 to 500 years, we have a major event in terms of an earthquake, and that an earthquake could be as high as a 9 on the Richter scale, and we're finding that it could even have worse effects than that because of landslides. Now, all remember the new Carissa, and they have to take that thing out and sink it, and it got away once, and then took it back out. If you saw in the paper, the coast has sort of a natural decline until it gets a couple hundred miles out, and then it drops off sharply, and that's where the new Carissa is now lying. I think it's either 1 or 2 miles into this big ravine, those ravines, because they're so steep, sedimentation sits on those ravines, and then during a major earthquake, you have an underground landslide, which causes huge tsunami events. And so not only do we have an earthquake that could devastate us, we're also looking at a tsunami. Now, of course, one of the other, when I say tsunami, huge tsunami, one of the other hazards that I, as a county commissioner, and county commissioners up and down the Oregon coast face are floods. Flood of 96, and then again the flood of 98, absolutely devastated Sonoma County, and we're actively finding or exploring methods to mitigate some of the flooding that we've experienced. And that's actually quite an enjoyable experience, because we're starting to find solutions that, believe it or not, don't cost an arm and a leg. It just takes some common sense to get out and look at the thing. What happens during flood is everybody's batting down the hatches, but what you need is somebody out there in a boat to see what's really going on. And we've been doing that. And we're finding the solutions have been, be fairly cheap to undertake. And so that's enjoyable to go in that direction. And then we also have landslides. We've got a landslide on a county road adjacent to Tierra del Mar that's going to cost us about, took away the road for about 300 or 400 feet. It's going to cost us about $2 million to fix that. And so we're working, we've got the funds procured to do that, and we're working through that problem. We've got to also have another slide on the Cape Lookout Road, and I'm just going to talk about a couple of them. But we've also got a natural huge landslide event above the town of Cape Mears that could, it's been moving, it kind of rumbling away for years, in the last couple of years, especially this year because it's been so wet. It's really got folks in Cape Mears very concerned if you wipe out their whole town. So we have that problem. I talked about tsunamis. Dalgany has been working with us to develop tsunami inundation zones. And when we have an inundation zone, of course, then a law that was passed, I think, in 1995, says that any emergency type of operations can't be built there, hospitals, schools, that sort of thing. So we're still in the process of doing that. And Dalgany is also helping us with a tsunami warning system, because they can hit us in a pretty short order, and we need to get the folks out of the area. In fact, we have some pretty progressive warning systems in some of our communities, not so good in other communities. And then the last natural hazard that I'd like to talk about is coastal erosion. You've all heard of the Cape situation. What we found out from that situation is that, just like lawyers, geologists can be for hire also. And Senator George, I'm sure, has heard about that. What the developer did at the Cape, he kept going, and he kept hiring geologists. It only took a couple, three to get there, but he found one that gave him the answer that he was looking for. So now we have a series of homes that are right on the edge of a precipice, and about four of them are going to have to be torn down. Why they didn't go down this last winter, I don't know. It still baffles me. So the reason why I'm here today is because I want to talk about the coastal field office that is within the budget. And specifically, there's a geologist and an engineer position. The geologist will help us define the problem, and the engineer will help us to develop solutions to the problem. So it'll help the business community and also the communities themselves. So I'd like to urge you to give that as much attention as you can. With the CAPE solution, in terms of looking at how what we can do to help ourselves with that, so that that type of solution won't happen again, the county budgets just don't have the expertise or the ability to hire the expertise that they need. So that when we get a report from a geologist submitted by the developer, the expertise isn't in-house to really look at those reports and say, no, this isn't right. We can't do that. But if we have got a coastal field office from Dogami, and then if you fund it, we're going to lobby like heck to make sure that that's in Filmer County, because we really need them right there. They can help us. I know.
You become a commissioner, you'll get shameless too.
So the other thing that they're working on, I found that there's a new term called littoral cell, and I think I even know how to spell it. It's littoral.
Is that right?
What you have is bulkhead.
Did I get that right?
Headland.
Yeah.
Headlands, between two headlands, like Cape Mears or Cape Lookout, you've got a body of beach that's confined because of the headland. And then the sand moves in that area on a sort of a cyclic, on a cycle from through the seasons, and then the El Ninos will have alter that process quite a bit too. And so what we're doing now is we're looking at the, and Dogami is helping us with this, we're looking at the littoral cells, defining them because they're all different, and developing a management plan so that we can manage our beaches and dunes and development along those littoral cells in a way that works with Mother Nature. And so we're getting a lot of help with those folks. So with that, I will stop and urge that when you consider this bill, that you look at the Coastal Field Office. It is something that the entire Oregon Coast desperately needs. Thank you.
Question for Rest on Fifty. Commissioner Chase. Seeing none. Thank you. We'll go ahead and call forward Don Hall and Linda Silver, and we also have Katie Stan up here with us. Is there other public testimony to come forward?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Honor Husing, the Director of the Oregon Coastal Zone Management Association. I'll be brief, too. I tried to testify earlier. I know Representative Thompson is in the middle of that ODF and WC bill, otherwise he would try to be here to support the Coastal Field Office as well. A couple of months ago, I wrote a letter to Governor Kitchener encouraging him to provide in the governor's budget money for a coastal field office. I'm here today to strongly urge you to try to find the money to do that. Everything Kim said about what happens at a local government is absolutely true. They don't have the staff and the expertise to provide oversight of how these geological reports, so that they can get reviewed properly. I think, frankly, the Board of Examiners in the Department of that handles the oversight of the geologists could also be strengthened, but it's clear that something is needed. We had a case in Lincoln County. I'm a Lincoln County Planning Commissioner, and we had a controversial 7 or 8 acre oceanfront parcel. We knew there were geological problems. The geologists that were hired by the applicant were definitely unhelpful in terms of answering any of our questions. And the county had to turn around and hire outside geological help to the tune of a number of thousands of dollars. And it was, I think if we had a more regular oversight mechanism, that would help the geological community know that there's going to be someone peeking over their shoulders. When I used to do wetland work, I knew that my stuff was going to be reviewed by the state. And that's not the case now. Only if there's a complaint, it's like a case, does the Board of Geological Examiners get involved. But that's a terrible remedy at this point. I think they need to do a better job, too. But the Coastal Field Office would go a long way helping local governments address these things. Some of the environmentalists, even the development community, should embrace this as well. I know budgets are tight. Also, just want to say philosophically, I think the Dammy is a wonderful agency. They're long on helping local governments and not at all dictatorial about what people should do with that information. I think they treat us, people from local government, with a lot of respect, and they are very well received whenever they work with local governments on the Oregon coast. So again, I don't want to take up any more of your time. I know budgets are tight, but if you can make this happen, people on the coast would really appreciate it. And I'll lobby for a more central coast location, because they ought to be going north and south as well. Representative Josie, or former Representative Josie, of course, will continue to lobby for Solo. Thank you. And any questions?
Questions from the committee? Seeing none.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else to ask a public question? Okay, so we have the director of the department, Don Hall, and Lynn Silver, to ask the committee. And the board has been have the overview and recommendations from legislative principles. Now, do we have any questions for the director or Linda Gilbert from Division of Administrative Services? Yes, Representative King, question.
I don't know if the question's for them. I just need a little bit of understanding and seeing whether policy package 101 Coastal Field Office Services on page 44 is included in the bill amount of $2,473,007.
It is not, and we'll go ahead and let Katie Cannon do the overview of the budget and we'll take questions about that.
It's been a while, so I'll do kind of a brief of a particular agency. It is Department of Geology and Mineral is the primary source of geologic information. They gather data and map the state's geology, including geologic and mineral and hazards. The agency is also responsible for administering the surface mining regulations. In this particular budget, there is total of 35.65 FTE, which is up just by one position, or one FTE from the last, the 97-99 LFD. And it is, the recommended budget is 14.1% less than the 97-99 budget, but this is primarily from two federal grants that are coming to completion in this particular biennium. And so they will not be moving forward with a federal money. So that's the biggest impact on the bottom line of this budget. They have one package, package 101, which is for the Coastal Field Office, which is a $250,000 package of general funds. And there's one FTE associated with that. Yeah, do you want me to start going through the
recommendation?
Okay. In your packets, let me explain what's in there. There's a budget memo in the front that provides written recommendations. There's spreadsheets for the total, and then they're broken down to the three sections that they have, which is geologic investigation, mined land, and then technology and administration. In the very back, there are a couple of charts that I'll talk about a little bit later to assess the basic general recommendations on the two sections. I think I'll start with, it's probably just easiest to go down the spreadsheet, which is at the very top, the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries, it's the total.
Yes,
it is the third page back. This is below the legislative approved budget, there are several areas where there are reductions or increases. In package 010, you have, this is the non-fixed personal services cost increase of 2.8%. There were no phase-ins or phase-outs. The inflation of cost and goods and services was $182,844 total. State government service charges was $17,837. The fund shift, the biggest one here is that federal fund shift. It's the reduction of those two projects that are being completed. That's almost $1.7 million. And then the PERS adjustment is $54,940. for a current service level of $7,127,474. Chair, do you want to vote on these as we go down them? Or how
do you let's just go ahead and go all the way through them and then we'll come back.
Okay. In Package 101, as I had explained before, this establishes a coastal field office, and my understanding from what Mr. Hollis told me, he hasn't determined where this office would go. There are a lot of people bidding for it. It has an increase of one FTE, and they would be working on tsunami and landslide mapping and information and notification of those particular communities. The governor's budget is for general fund is $3,259,269. The other funds, $2,473,007. The federal funds is $1,545,198. And there is also a non-limited other fund that has to do with bonding, which is $100,000. And then for a total budget of $7,377,474 with 37 positions and 35.65 FTE. Any questions?
I didn't find the last part where you were standing. So.
I was in the shaded area under current service line.
And the governor's recommended.
Okay,
LFO's recommendations, the first item is the Attorney General's hourly rate reduction, which was the reduction from $92 an hour down to $90 an hour. This was $137 for general fund and $587 for other funds for a total of $724. At the direction of the chair, we sat down and looked at the reductions. The direction that I was given was a 4% reduction of general fund minus any special payments. And what I did is I literally went through their budget line item by line item to look and see if there were any logical places to take these reductions. And where we decided to take the reduction, which was only 2%, and that was at the direction of the chair, is in publicity and publications and professional services. And the reason why I did that, in the last few pages, there are charts in here that I looked at the history of these particular two line items. I looked at what had been budgeted in the past, and I looked at how much they actually spent for the previous bienniums. In 1995-97, obviously, those are actual. In 97-99, I looked at a 20-month report and then projected it out to 24 months. And I found that they were not, it didn't appear that in either one of these categories they were going to need the remainder of the legislative approved portion between what they were, I was projecting for them to spend. And then I took a look at the 9901 budget. And on professional services, I've already backed out the $71,000 of professional services for Package 101. So that is not in here in this particular chart. And what I'm recommending is that for the 2% reduction, that $50,000 of this come from professional services, and then $15,185 come from publicity and publication. And then the other requirement, I was looking at items that were there is some element of uncertainty whether they're going to need that actual funding. And once again, I looked at these two categories, and my recommendation, or LFO's recommendation, is to hold back an additional $50,000 on professional services and another $15,185 on publicity and publications. Now, this particular amount will be allocated to the emergency board, and then of course they can come forward and request that as the need occurs. So think those are, that's the conclusion of my recommendation. Oh, on package 101, since it is a general fund package, the $250,000 LFO's recommendation to deny that.
Question, Representative King and then Representative Metro.
On the spreadsheet, I'm seeing 65,185 reduced twice. Is this a coincidence that that's the same number? Or
no. I started out looking at a total of 4%, and talking to the chair, he directed me to take 2% and then another 2% to pay that. And so that's why those amounts are the same.
And so we are looking at the prospect of having two numbers that are 65,185 each being reduced.
One would be reduced, and the other one would be appropriated to the emergency board.
Okay. And
for this is more a question for Mr. Hall. I'm concerned about the tremendous risk we have on the coast and the reduction or the removal of the coastal office. And my question to Mr. Hall would be, if you funded the one position, I know you wanted to, you requested two. But if you funded the one position, could you take a reduction someplace else in the department to maintain the general fund at the level that staff is recommending?
Mr. Chairman, I'm coming. Good morning. Clearly, for the record, Don Hall, Director of Department of Geology and Marine Fisheries, clearly, in the eyes of our governing board and the eyes of our staff, the number one priority at this point is to develop a sustained capability to serve coastal businesses and coastal local governments and the general public in that part of Oregon to address the chronic and potential catastrophic hazards as Commissioner Joshi described earlier. It would be my strong recommendation, with all due respect, Mr. Chairman, that we try, as soon as funds are available, to fully fund the Coastal Field Office. The problem, as I described it, back in February during the hearing, is that we need dual expertise to properly serve those coastal publics and to address that multiplicity of hazards. We need geologic expertise on a sustained basis on the coast to define the problems and tell people what to expect. We need engineering expertise to help people on the coast craft solutions to those problems, to address those hazards in a meaningful way that will reduce risk long term. I think I used the words a ham and egg deal in the testimony back in February. It truly is that. We need that dual expertise when the resources are available. We will certainly be willing to tighten our belts elsewhere in the department to achieve that whole package as soon as we can. I have a couple of editorial comments about the discussion so far this morning, Mr. Chairman, if you'll bear with me. First of all, I think we have to look behind the labels at some of the S&S items, so-called, that are proposed for reductions or holdbacks. Publicity and publication is a bit of a misnomer in our case, even though that's a category, of course, that's used in all agency budgets. By publicity, what we mean is educating school kids, coastal communities, coastal businesses about the risk posed by these same hazards. This isn't philosophy. It's not making the director look good with a series of press releases and personality profiles. You know, this is educating the public as our statutory mission charges us to do. With respect to the professional services, the reason we've been able to maintain, in part, a small, but I think a very solid technical staff in many years, over many years, is that we use consultants. We use specialists from the private sector and elsewhere under contract using these professional service dollars. There are some real efficiencies that accrue from having the flexibility to contract to
particular experts on particular projects in particular areas. And while these categories are titled with fairly general words like publicity, publications, and professional services, in fact, from a managerial perspective, it's that flexibility, that working capital, if you will, that really allows us to operate with a small staff in a professional way. Mr. Chairman, that would end my editorial comments.
Senator George has comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Relative to those publications and professional services, my wife represented me recently down on the coast for a kickoff of the tsunami awareness part, and she came back, and she's probably more tight-fisted than I am when it comes to dollars, and she just went on and on and on about how they had utilized those dollars to maximize the amount of information that was available, to coordinate in a very low-cost way with local jurisdictions to get this awareness factor out there. In fact, if it wasn't for the fact that her mother's very ill, she was going to be here today, you know, to tell the story about how impressed she was with what they have done with a limited amount of money. And I hope we will keep that in mind. I mean, when you look at this budget in relationship to others, it's very small, and I know it all adds up, and everyone's trying to get money for school. But there are some times when you must say, we need expertise to make these decisions. And the coast is facing some tremendous things. And I'm going to, my committee is going to probably add one more burden to them when we send a bill 12, which will have additional requirements that we understand what's happening with relationships to slide. And this is not only an obligation on the coast, but also the agency's going to be asked to be dealing with other parts of the state. So I guess that's my editorial piece. I appreciate your comments.
Sure, I'd just like to make a comment that in other budgeting processes here in the building, we would encourage the department to contact out the department trustees. I think that particularly with a small department such as this, it makes a lot even more sense. And I thought I heard Director Hull say that he could find efficiencies within his budget to cover expenditures and whatever the case, I don't care, but if that's the case, I would really support allowing our department heads to adjust their funding, their highest priorities, rather than maybe our committee, without much depth and knowledge of how the operation of the department works, it's a little bit.
I was going to point out a couple of things. Three things I think that will be very important for us to consider as we vote on this budget. If I could call your attention to the last page, the publicity and publication. So 97.99, the actual expenditures for publicity and publications, and actually that may be a misnomer, which you'll learn from the director, is actually $26,071. We are authorizing $32,818, which is the most the agency's ever had available to it, and then we're reserving another $15,185 to cover the exigencies of that activity, even though it may be misnamed. So in a real sense, we've about doubled what's available for that category. Let me ask you to go forward a page. In the professional services area, again, the most the agency spent was $186,000. That was in the 95-97 biennium. In 97-99, we spent $114,886. We've authorized slightly more than that at $117,314 and reserved $50,000. And essentially, the budget note that goes in with this says that we are authorizing $50,000. As a whole back, but in point of fact, the budget has talked about additional resources that might be available through the general fund from the emergency board. In other words, if you'll look at the second page in your sheet and read the line item from adding new section of the state's colon, basically you look at your memo, turn one page, and then read the budget note.
In addition to and not in lieu of any other appropriations, there's appropriated the sum of $50,000 for allocation only to the Department of Geology and Minerals for professional services, and the sum of $15,185 to the Department of Geology and Minerals for publicity and publication. Any monies that remain unallocated and unobligated by the emergency board on November 1, 2000 become available for any lawful purpose for which the emergency board may lawfully allocate funds. Basically, you're making a note that puts everybody on notice that, in fact, there may be a requirement for additional dollars for contracting for professional services and any other lawful purpose. So I think the 2% reduction is just exactly 2% less than the co-chair has asked us to produce. The $250,000 for the additional FTE was beyond the reach of our 4% reduction objective, but it isn't beyond our reach for an add-back. And if it's the committee's consensus, I certainly will go back to the co-chairs and suggest very strongly that this additional position, if there are available funds as we get closer to the closure on this budget, this would be a very high priority for natural resources for an add-back position. But, you know, as a responsible co-chair, I was looking for a 4% reduction. I achieved that by cutting 2% out of an area where we have underutilization of allocated funds, and then the reservation is actually kind of a bootleg cut. I expect the department to probably need those funds and ask for those funds from eBoard. They'll be held in reservation for the organization in anticipation of their request. And in the meantime, hearing the board's or the committee's discussion about additional positions for the post, I'd be happy to talk to the co-chairs about a potential address. Representative Mitchell.
Sure. I hope I'm not misunderstood. I'm not considering an address. I'm considering allowing the department to adjust the priorities.
Actually, I think we can ask Mr. Hall to address that issue, but I think Mr. Hall is under obligation to present the budget that the governor has asked him to present. But, Charles, do you have any comment on that area?
Mr. Chairman, thank you for the opportunity, but no, I don't have any additional comment.
I think it's incumbent on us to understand that the budget that's presented is the budget that Mr. Hall has been authorized to present. Mr. Fincher, did you have a
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a feeling, I'm concerned with this, that we may be in one of those games with Pennywise and Tom Foolish, that this is a position that may be something that will save the state of Oregon substantial down the line. I also understand the difficulties that we're going to have as we go through our budget, and I'm sure that the department understands those things. And while at this particular point I would be supportive of maintaining that position in the budget, if we can't do that, I would certainly take a strong position you do what you're saying, that if there is add-backs, this being considered by this committee one of the high priorities or the highest priorities for that.
I'm advocating for the position, wherever it's located. That's because one thing that's needed to be done, and I'm doubtful that maybe there's not doing something useful today, and that is a brand new mandate to do that. I would think we have a respect mandate, including always say that it's not a good enough mandate and it's not being done. The thing I'm saying is that we do need it. I think that we've not only got budget implications, but high new visibility so the public is aware that this is needed.
And I feel that the committee understands this thing. I would welcome the committee's individual help in communicating that. So, because folks will be looking at the overall budget, I think it's pretty pointed and direct instruction for targeting. But I'm referring to. Any further questions?
I would actually approve the package of the 101 package. Proviso that the government has the option of funding that package within their approved budget. So then at some point in time, additional funds become available, like your thoughts would be fully enjoyed, that's fine, Danny. I think it's a good thing to have
the committee hear those points. Thank you. Can you share all the further comments of the committee? Any? Kitty, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and accept the recommendations of the legislative fiscal officer with regard to this budget and these budget packages. Knowing that Senator George has missed go forward that has significant implications for earthquake questions, and that that will have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means, and questionably, probably come to this committee, likely that it would have an impact on this budget. And also that the committee joined me in communicating to the co-chairs how strongly we feel about the add-back potential for this position, because it is one that I feel strongly about. But I feel that it's also incumbent on us as a co-chair to meet the recommendations and requirements that have been handed by the co-chairs of the Civil Ways and Means Committee. And I want to meet that obligation, even though I feel very strongly about this budget. Any further discussions at that point?
Sure, I'm a little bit uncomfortable. I don't understand if I can. Your proposal is to move the LFO's suggested budget. Does that include the 101 package?
It includes the recommendations for not spending from the general fund for 101. The position I'm taking is that we've been asked for 4% reduction from the governor. We put in a 2% reduction and a 2% reservation because we feel strongly that this is a well-run, well-managed, and necessary agency that provides significantly for public safety, and that the 101 package is beyond our ability to get to and do all the things that we need to for the 4% reduction, but that the 101 package is so significant that, at least for me in this process, I'd be going to the co-chairs and suggesting the committee was very, very supportive of the package and would like to see it added back. And I would encourage every one of us individually to act on our front when we talk to the co-chairs about this issue.
Sure, for the 101 package, we put in the form of the budget note to the full.
The budget note to the full would be expressed in what condition that we would ask that this be considered for add back? That the committee feel so strongly about this that we would like
it as an add back or funded within the government package of the funds. My concern is,
what are the, I'll just ask Katie, what are the implications for that kind of a budget?
This package could be approved without the funding. I've done that in other budgets. And so the FTE gets approved, but it's an unfunded position. And then if they have adequate participation within the budget, then they can fund it. But that's a lot of money, you know, for them to come up to this indication.
This is an organization that we did not see a lot of creative accounting in their process. It's relatively straightforward and seems to be fairly easily understood. The chair would entertain that kind of a budget note, because I think it's the package that we all agree on is the needed and necessary thing. Put it this way, you have to allocate a dollar to it, you know.
That I'm not sure of. I had another package in another agency where I approved the package and denied all the funding. So if you want to put a dollar in there,
put a dollar in there. Call the thing. We are not in a work session, but I think the committee said expressed itself significantly at this point. I kind of feel like I know where we're going. So we'll go ahead and open the work session on this package. We're in work session on Senate Bill 5516, committee pledge. The Senator Tarno moved approval of the
LFO recommendations for Senate Bill 5516 with the exception of an approval of package 101 with zero with a $1 funding. That does everybody understand this? Without objection, we'll approve the LFO recommendations, and then we'll accept a motion on Senate Bill 5516. Senator Turner moves Senate Bill 5516 for full ways and means of a DCAS recommendation.
Does the amount then become $6,996,381?
It does? Yes. Very misunderstanding that the additional dollars.
Representative Jensen?
Aye.
Representative Nestle?
Aye.
Representative King?
Aye.
A motion passes, and is there any, is there a volunteer to carry this particular bill? Our chair will carry in the full ways and means, but we need a Senate carry. Senator Connell will carry. That closes our public session, work session on Senate Bill 5560. We don't have a half carrier in the yet, but since it is a coastal issue, with Professor initially carry the it's a statewide issue, but it has a coastal issue. So Professor initially will carry it. And colleagues, the admonition from the chair is to discuss your concerns with the co-chair. I hope you'll take it seriously. We have no meeting scheduled for tomorrow, so colleagues, we have some conversations and phone calls and work on correspondence. And Thursday, we're going to be hearing Senate Bill 1109 and also hearing more information about the concept of environmental justice. Any questions from the committee? I think we have questions today.